Again, thank you for the opportunity to look into the your word. Your word says to us that everything you've said will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you have sent it. So we should keep ourselves in remembrance of these things. Father, I pray that your word will be received with gladness. I pray, Lord, that the spirit, your spirit within us, will help us to treasure it. That this seed this morning will prepare us for the challenges for the week until we are transformed, as we've learned that your will is that we'll be transformed more and more in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all you have done that we've testified to. Thank you for being in our presence, in our midst this morning. Thank you, darling Jesus. Your name is wonderful. You are our big brother, our Lord, our Savior. We worship, we adore you, Lord. Consecrate my lips, my Father. Help me, Father, to be a vessel to you and to honor this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go into the Word of God this morning, in the interest of Mark chapter 16, 15, we also want to begin to inform the church that as a church, we are praying that the Lord will help us to start an outreach into the country of Trinidad and Tobago. Please keep this in prayer. We've been praying about it. The Lord has been leading us in a way or the other, and we have seen great needs. There's a swath of the population that we visited with that are steeped in iniquity. And it's not by accident that a particular set of people keep coming. So we're praying. We're in the phase of praying to seek what the Lord will have us do in this island. Let's prepare yourselves, whoever the Lord will use. So please, let's just we have decided to start praying, even as part of our church service, to commit this island to the Lord, Trinidad and Tobago, and what the Lord will have us do. So please keep this in prayer. Praise the Lord. Last week we talked about love and we challenged one another, no, thank you, to go and pursue love as the Bible told us. We learned last week that love is the utmost. There are different gifts, but love is the great. Brother Kenny, how are you? Long time no see. So, and I hope we have been able to practice love. How many of us have made a conscious effort to pursue love this week? Conscious. Thank you. Conscious. Miraculously, thank you. Conscious. Me, conscious. There's been a few stains upon my lips that I bit my lips this morning because of this week, because of love. You're still an old woman. Well, yeah, the Bible commands us to go on. It's something to be pursued. I think almost all of us here think we're already loving, which means almost all of us here are not honest. Because your conscience right now is telling you that little area where you can improve. So I was very happy when I read in the Bible that the Bible did not say, go and be loving. Which it does in a way. He says, go and pursue it. It means it's going to take an effort. So I stopped feeling guilty about those areas. And I bless the Lord for those areas in which your spirit testified that you're already loving. That's to say, we are growing in love. Last week, we also learned that we should grow more and more in love as well. But love, that you cannot be, there's always something, there's always an area that we can improve on as we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are transformed in his image from glory to glory. And the pursuit of Christianity is the pursuit of love. The Bible does not just say God loves, it says God is love. He is love. This week, I just pray that we'll continue, we will let the Holy Spirit touch the part of our lives that are not loving, so that we can grow in love. The Bible says that love is the bond of perfection. Many of us complain that we're not love, we're not perfect. It's because we don't meditate enough on love. Whether we give or drink, whatever we do, the Bible says we should do it in love to the glory of God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. But this week, I want to speak on some another virtue, which I think the Lord will have us speak about this. This morning, I want to talk on integrity, Christian integrity, because honestly, what differentiates us is our love and our integrity. And there's a lack of integrity. Many people, there's the word out there that Christians are no better than non-Christians when they measure us. But God wants us to be people of integrity. To be a person of integrity means you're a truthful person, you're a whole, integral, you're a whole person. And there's a lack of Christian integrity. It never used to be. It's getting worse. The Christianity we know today is different from the Christianity we used to know. There's a story that in those days that you could almost, where's Brother Peter? You could almost, I was about to talk about accountant. You could, that if you were looking for an accountant, you go to people who are familiar with Africa. I don't know what the similar congregation is in South America, for instance. But there used to be a fellowship called the Deeper Lifers. They used to have the reputation of being very strict with their Christianity. So they said there was a time in the Nigerian civil service that if you wanted to hire an accountant, you will look for a Deeper Lifer or a Scriptural Union, SU, because they were men and women of integrity. But now, I hear that there's no, in fact, you have, when they are taking offerings in certain churches, you need bodyguards. And you wonder, how can you be taking offering in a Christian fellowship and you need to put your ushers in a different color of vest because people have come with their own offering basket and they could steal the money and take it away? This thing is a demonstration of a lack of Christian integrity. The divorce rates within and outside the Christian church, we hear they are almost the same. It's because of a lack of Christian integrity. There are lots of gospel songs, gospel books, gospel churches, gospel this, but there's very little integrity. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. And because we stand at a crossroad in our Christianity when we have to think, not just are you a Christian, but think, is the kind of Christian that I am the kind of Christian that God wants me to be? That's the question we don't ask. We seem to be satisfied with just the fact that a person is a Christian. But that's not enough. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, it says, go to the crossroads and stand. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good road is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul, but you will not. Jeremiah speaking to the nation of Israel. So it's about time to look at the old ways and see how things used to be, the good ways, and copy it. If there's any message that I need every believer in our days needs to hear today, there seems to be a lot. Another one, apart from love, is the need to stand and go to the old paths. To the crossroad and ask, where are the ancient paths, the paths that are good, the paths of Abraham, the paths of Moses? How did Joseph, how did Daniel, how did Mary, Rebecca, how did they serve and worship their God? He said, we should go to those old paths and see. Ask
For the old paths, the ancient paths, the ways that are good, and walk in it, and you will have rest for your soul. And the prophet said, although I kept telling the people this, they would not. They want to continue in the way that they have been. The old Christian paths were the paths of integrity. I read a book 20 years ago that I recommend to every Christian. It was actually called The Disciplines of a Godly Man. It was written by a man called Kent Hughes. I recommend it. I read it a long time ago, a pastor for several years. And in that book, he wrote about how it's necessary for Christian men to make a righteous stand in every facet of life. He was writing to men, but I think it applies to all Christians. He said it's required for us as Christians not to blend in, but to stand out for our integrity. Our discipline in little and big things, in relationship, in marriage, parenting, friendship, copyright infringement, punctuality, piety. In every aspect of your life, you have to examine yourself and say, before God, am I a man of integrity? The Bible says some people measure themselves by themselves, and they are what? And they are what? Not wise. Another translation says they are fools. I better pass my neighbor, is the name of a car in Nigeria. But Christianity is not subjective goodness. You must measure yourself by the ancient paths, by the way that is good. No, that's a generator, sorry, not a car. I better pass my neighbor. There's no I better pass my neighbor in Christianity. The Lord is not going to measure me by Brother Shegun and say, Brother Wale is a slightly... Okay, Brother Shegun is a slightly more integrity man. Okay, if I say the other one now, Brother Shegun will start frowning his face. Okay. Will be measured by the standard of the word of God. Praise the Lord. He did a survey. They did a survey for this book that I found remarkably interesting. This was 20 years ago. I can imagine, actually more than 20. I can imagine it's worse now. In that survey, they found that there's little statistical difference between ethical practices of those who claim to be religious and those who claim that they are not religious. It was an anonymous survey. They posed a few questions to them. And this man found, I think it might have been Gallup, I don't know. But the ethical practices of people who claim to be Christians were just a little bit different from those who claim to be non-Christians. He found that Christians are also likely to lie on their tax return. And believe it or not, although we don't talk about it, brothers and sisters, it's a question of integrity. Although nobody sees you, God sees. There are students and writers here. They found that Christians were more likely to plagiarize, especially in this age of generative artificial intelligence. ChatGPT. And in this age, there wasn't ChatGPT, but online in this time when he was doing the survey, any research you want, you could just pull it down and submit it as a homework. But it's a question of Christian integrity. Christians were also as likely to call in sick at work, even when they are not sick. It might seem that it doesn't matter, but it's a question of Christian integrity. These are the little things that do not allow ourselves to differentiate ourselves from others. It's a question of integrity. We don't pay attention to these things, but these are the character issues that Brother Oshet was talking about as well. These ones apply to us. He gave a lot of examples about what preachers do. These examples are what every Christian does. And I think the man or woman without integrity that sits in the pews when it comes to the pulpit, is not likely to have integrity as well. Because integrity is not sewn on a robe, it's in the heart. They found that Christians are also as likely to give a bribe to obtain a permit or something as anyone else. They're just slightly less likely to facilitate a favor through a bribe in this survey. In those days were the days of, illegal CDs, DVDs, software. And they found that Christians are more likely to look for that hack that will allow them to bypass the licensing rules in order to get a free software, Microsoft Word, Excel. How many people have free Word and Excel on their Windows? Those were days of... But it's a question of integrity. The one that shook my heart when I was reading it, because I'm guilty a little bit, not a lot, I'm better now. They found that Christians are also more likely to ignore the speed limit as non-Christians. It's a question of integrity. We Christians, they found, are more as likely to exaggerate an event or a story as non-Christians. I've seen pastors do this. Some preachers tell some stories and you have put a little jara there. You have. Question of it. These things look like they do not matter, but they actually measure the state of our hearts. We Christians are as likely as unbelievers to tell people what they want to hear. There was a question that says, what would you be willing to do for $10 million? Anonymous. Like those who identified as non-Christians, 25% of Christians are ready to abandon their families for $10 million. They found that even a larger percentage was willing to compromise on morals for that kind of money. We live in a very decadent culture. But as Christians, the Lord expects better from us. Steal from work. There used to be a time that workplaces had supplies, that you could, when you used to work in the office or maybe the printer supply. And it was a big thing because companies were spending a lot of money on printer or printing paper. And there was always the rule to please use official tools only for official business. But a lot of people ignore it. They found that Christians were also more likely to do this. This look like little things. But these are things that really indicate whether your heart is with Jesus or not. So truth is important. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says we should speak the truth in love and we should grow up in Christ who is our head. The disciplines of a Christian man. Are you a Christian that can be trusted because you are a Christian, a man or a woman? I'm not asking whether you're a good woman. I'm not asking whether you're a good man. I think if we're asked that, almost all of us would qualify. After all, we're not bandits. We're not thieves. We love our children, our spouses. I'm asking whether you're the kind of Christian that it is exactly because you're a Christian that your co-workers, your neighbors, your workmates can trust you. Are you the kind of person that is known that, go to this man. If you search him, like Daniel, there will be no flaw in him. If they looked under your mattress this morning, what would they find? In your fridge, what would they find? How about in your heart? She looked down. I said mattress. I said free. Yeah. I said heart, and she just went. Integrity. This is what Jesus wants us to be Christians. We don't talk. The churches talk to us about general topics. Faith, hope. But you measure your hope and your faith by your life of integrity. Show me your faith. You show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Unfortunately, these days, majority of Christians lack integrity. If this were not true, our society would be way better than it is today. We don't hear it as in the days of old that I want to hire a Christian. You hear, oh, this man is coming. We cannot speak this way anyhow. We just blend into every environment. They don't even notice us. We are not men. We cannot speak out about what we stand for. And integrity requires standing tall. You are the same person in church, outside of church, at devotion and at work. Integrity. It's as if the way the church has been quiet about integrity is as if it no longer matters. But it does. It does. In Job chapter 27, verse 5, for those who are writing down scriptures, Job, who was the ultimate sufferer, said something. In part B of that verse, he said, till I die, I will not deny my integrity. Are there women and men here that have things in righteousness that they stand for? And they say, if you take my life, here I stand. I will not deny my integrity. Or are we like people who are carried about by all winds of doctrines, unstable in all of our ways? When we are with the Greeks, not in the Pauline kind of way, but in the corrupt way, we are like the Greeks. When we are with the world, we are doing like them. When we are drunkards, we are drinking, we are with drunkards, we change our language, we start speaking like drunkards. And you call yourself a Christian. When Hollywood, we dress like whores, like Hollywood. When you're on vacation, we don't recognize you anymore until we see you on Instagram. Or what do they call that thing? Integrity. Does your Facebook reflect the glory and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ whom you confess? Integrity. I like to look at your song collection. What do you call that thing? What do you call it? Play group, or what do people call it? Playlist. Your playlist group. I like to see it. What is on it? Do I find Lagbaja, Bonner Boy, Jem Z, or what's his name? Jay-Z, Kangaroo. Your playlist is a reflection of your integrity. How about your library? Are you mixing A.W. Tozer with Mills and Booms? Well, sorry, I'm dating myself. James Hadley Chase. Robert Ludlum. You say you are no longer drinking, yet your hand has not left the neck of the caring bee. Integrity. Are you a man here? Will your wife find you as you say you are? Phone to your wife. Can you leave your phone unprotected? Okay, please. The account, you better put password on that one. Now I understand. As a man, are you open? Can you be read like a book? Are you a Christian man? The disciplines of a Christian man. Or does your wife have to pray and fast every time you travel? I remember reading something shocking. There was a Seventh-day Adventist convention in New Jersey or New York many years ago, and they had booked an hotel.
Ministers' Conference, Seventh-day Adventist, for the weekend. When they left, they did an analysis of the cable usage. And they discovered that for that weekend, there had been more uptick in pornographic requests than any other weekend. And their guests, 80% of the occupation of that hotel was at Seventh-day Adventist ministers. When I read it, I was shocked. Integrity. May the Lord help us, because these are the things that matter. Psalm 15 that we read this morning was clear. It said, he that we are sent to that holy heaven that we are all aspiring to will be those with clean hands, pure heart, clean lips, who have not lifted their hearts unto what? Unto vanity. These are the generation of David. Christianity is not just a mere confession, it's a life. The Lord requires you as his son and his daughter to live a life of pure integrity. This story is told in Acts chapter 5, because of time, we're not open to it, about Ananias and Sapphira. We all know the story. They said that they were going to sell their property. It was their own property. And give the proceeds to the church. But when they sold it, what did they give? They gave a portion. It's a question of integrity. Why the world has been congratulating you that you are trying enough? Because for the most part, you are doing well. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 15 that Peter stood up to this couple and said, why have you lied, integrity, to the Holy Spirit? Now listen, it's always been yours. You did not have to pledge it. You could have kept everything to yourself. But you stood before God and you said you were going to do this and you only did a portion of it. And what was the consequence of that? Integrity matters. God cares about integrity. In Genesis chapter 37 is the story of Joseph. Joseph, as far back as 17 years of old, chose a side. He was consistent. He always told on his brothers when they did evil at age 17. He stuck with the path of Jacob. He wasn't going to join his siblings to do evil. He wasn't going to join his siblings to go and get vengeance on the person that did bad to their sister. He listened to his father. And the Bible said that every time he hung out with his brothers and he saw something evil, he went and reported it to his father because he cared for the God of his father. That was a kind of person, a human being of integrity that Joseph was. He was not going to compromise even for his own blood brothers. He stood with God. The Bible says we should go to the crossroads and look at the ancient paths. Look at how Joseph lived his life and emulate it. Don't look at the big MFGs with their jets of today. Don't look at the book writers with big names who you do not know. Look at Abraham. Integrity. And for this, what happened to Joseph? He suffered. They were going to kill him, but God intervened. Eventually, they threw him in a pit and they sold him as a slave to the house of Potiphar. But even in the house of Potiphar, this Joseph, who had every excuse to be angry with God, every dream that he ever dreamt seemed not to be coming to pass. It was as though the heavens were against Joseph. He had every reason to be angry with the Lord because you showed me the moon and the stars, and my future was supposed to be that they would bow before me. Suddenly, I'm a slave
in a strange land. He had a reason, if any of us had, not to be a man of integrity. But even as a slave, the Bible says that he was full of integrity. The Bible teaches us that this Joseph was so faithful in the house of his master that the master handed everything over to him. And the Lord was with him, and everything that he handled prospered. Imagine you are a slave and they call you prosperous man as a slave. Because Christian prosperity is not about what you have in your bank account. It's about whether God is with you or not. And if you're a person that honors the Lord, he will honor you. So let's learn from Joseph. What did he get for his integrity? We know why he landed in prison. The madam of the house, the woman of the house, suddenly had designs on poor Joseph. He was just doing his job. He was being righteous. And because he stood by God, what did he get for himself? Prison. But the Bible says, even in prison, the Lord was with him. Many of us, because of a little trial, a little experience, we sell our birthright. To get immigration, you disobey the law of the Lord. Job said, even if I die, I will not sell my integrity. Justify it. We say price is too much to pay for the Lord. Cities thought said, if the Lord Jesus were king, and he came from heaven to die for me, then what price is too much for me to pay for him? Please be Christians of integrity. As you see, Daniel was a man of integrity. Joseph ended up being prime minister. Everything you will be, if you stand with God, he will take you there. If you're a Christian politician, are you a man of integrity? Do you speak the truth? Do you stand in the Lord? Have you suffered anything for the sake of Jesus? Because every position that God puts us, he wants us to stand tall in integrity. It's a test. This man became the prime minister of Egypt. Integrity first took him to jail, and integrity brought him to the throne. Integrity will bruise us, but integrity will lift us up as well. Please don't embrace the simple Christianity that puts no responsibility on you. Daniel, he said, I am not going to pollute myself with the meat, with the kings at the king's table. They were captives. Look at the ancient part. There's a lot of compromise, and God is not happy with compromise. A costless, crossless Christianity, brothers and sisters, will not take you to the center of God's will. He that has an ear, let him what? Hear what? What the Spirit says to his church. Let us pray. Convict us, my Lord. You said the entire world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Every department, every area, every practice, every company, as we desire to evangelize. We cannot evangelize. That if the foundation be faulty, what can the righteous do? I pray, Father, that you make us not territorial evangelists or the evangelists of the letters that kill. I pray that our very lives will testify. Give to us the grace. Father, is there any conscience that is dead here? I pray, Father, by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Father, please awaken the conscience. Awaken our conscience that we may know what your will is. I pray we will seek love and we will seek to live lives of integrity, that we will repent. We'll repent of our backsliding before that day comes. Help us to be men and women that even the world may see your glory in our lives and know we're a different kind of Christian. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wale. Praise the Lord.